The recent controversy over Zomato's decision to introduce separate packaging for pure veg delivery, along with different uniforms for the people who are doing the delivery, is in many ways a sign of the times. We live in an age where pure veg has come to mean something special, something coveted by people who believe in Hindutva, something that signifies a certain kind of Hindu pride. It's odd because it wasn't actually always like this. Let's go back to the time the Constitution was framed. At that stage, there was a debate over beef. It was considered to be a debate over beef by you and me now. But when you go back and you look at the records from that time, they didn't see the issue as being beef. They saw the issue as being cow slaughter. Many people in the Constituent Assembly said that cows were holy and sacred to Hindus, and therefore any government should ban their slaughter. Others responded saying that, look, it may or may not be true that they are sacred to Hindus, but so what? This is a secular country. Laws cannot be based on what Hindus want. It's interesting, if you go back and read what Gandhiji said about this. Gandhiji said that he believed strongly in the preservation of the cow, but he would never use the law to ban cow slaughter because that was not the purpose of the law. These debates went on right up into I-51 almost, when the constitution was actually released. And the final decision was it would be left to the states. Now, as it turned out, most states did ban cow slaughter. Some states were and continue to be exceptions. For instance, Bengal didn't do it. Kerala didn't do it. The Northeast still hasn't done it. There are other examples of exceptions. But generally, the principle was established that cows would be protected. They would not be slaughtered. However, this was not seen as a beef issue or a dinner or lunch issue. It was seen as an animal protection issue. That's changed now, and it began to change really after, in the last decade, in the so-called New India decade, when BJP took over many, many state governments. State governments did not see it as being just a matter of cow protection. They saw it as being about lunch. They saw it as being about beef, about the consumption of beef. There'd been the sort of arrangement between the governments and people, which is that, of course, cow slaughter is illegal. But eating beef is your own business. So hotels could import beef, they could serve it, and they would argue, I think correctly, that no Indian cows had been slaughtered in the production of that beef. People who came from, say, Calcutta to Delhi, if they brought beef and they served that beef, that would be fine because the cows had been slaughtered in a place where it was okay, where it was legal to slaughter cows. And at the same time, the export of beef became one of our big industries. India at one stage was among the largest beef exporters in the world. When they challenged beef exporters, they all said, rather conveniently, that's buffalo meat, it's not cow. And nobody bothered to look too closely. All that changed. All that's changed in the last decade. People who eat beef have been targeted. People who sell beef have been targeted. It's become so bad that the Delhi police raided Andhra Bhavan, which is run by the Andhra Pradesh government, and checked their fridge to see if they had any beef there. In fact, it was buffalo meat. In such states like Haryana, the penalty for selling beef is enormous. It's a major change and a shift in the way we looked at things in India earlier and we look at them now. Until the last decade, people didn't bother too much about what you ate. They took the line that it was a personal decision and it was nobody else's business. No longer. It's now become the state's business. Once you establish the principle that the state is concerned with what you allow people to eat, then where does it stop? It's now become about vegetarianism. There have been campaigns against eggs being served in schools, against non-vegetarian food. It's not necessarily a new development. I remember as far back as 20 years ago, housing societies in Mumbai, run by Gujaratis largely, used to refuse to sell flats to people who were non-vegetarians, saying that they were vegetarians and this upset them. Well, the guys were not going to come and cook meat in their kitchen. If you were on the third floor and a guy on the 17th floor cooked mutton curry for himself, did it really affect you? Yes, said the housing societies. It really affects us. We want to be surrounded only by vegetarians, not by non-vegetarians. And slowly, bit by bit, the state also got involved catering to this kind of belief. For instance, it's been a tradition that on days when there are Hindu festivals, slaughterhouses are closed. But it's now gone further. They've closed slaughterhouses for inordinately long periods of time. It's not difficult to see what the agenda is. Most slaughterhouses in India are run by Muslims. And to make Muslims shut down for 14 days or whatever because of a Hindu festival doesn't really worry anybody who's been elected on a Hindu agenda. I wrote an article once giving an example of a festival in Maharashtra where there had been a closure of slaughterhouses, where it had been extended by the BJP-run government. And it had been extended for much longer than before, which I suppose is fine. But, and this was the interesting bit, while shops could not sell beef, they could sell fish. Why could they sell fish? I mean, vegetarianism surely does not include in India any kind of fish. If you're a vegetarian, you can't eat fish. Well, because guess what religion most fishermen in Maharashtra are? So it was quite clear what the agenda was. And I think that's been pretty much the case throughout. Many of these laws, whether by intention or by consequence, have become about targeting lower caste people who are not vegetarians and targeting Muslims. In the case of beef, of course, it was terrible. There was cow vigilantism. Muslims have been lynched allegedly because they were slaughtering cows or because they were transporting cows. It's now gone on generally to become vegetarianism is pure, non-vegetarianism is impure kind of thing. If you look at the history of India, we've not traditionally been a pure vegetarian civilization. As far back as the Indus Valley, which may or may not have been a Hindu civilization, there were animals consumed. If you look at the period of the Mauryas, considered one of the greatest periods in ancient Indian history, they were not vegetarians. And so it goes. So where did this idea that we had to be vegetarian to prove that we were Hindus come from? In fact, the statistics will tell you, and survey after survey after survey will tell you, that most of India is non-vegetarian. The people who believe in vegetarianism may be Hindus, but they're not necessarily just Hindus. They're upper caste Hindus. They're people like Brahmins, Baniyas, and of course Jains, many of whom are Baniyas also. So when did this practice, restricted largely to the upper castes, become a symbol of Hinduism? It's hard to say. My guess is it started along with the rise of the Hindutva movement. But why? I mean, if you look at great BJP leaders in the past, many of them are non-vegetarians and they were not embarrassed about it. So why now? Well, there are sort of many reasons offered. One of them is that pure vegetarian is associated with purity. Much of the imagery and the symbolizing of Hindutva is based around temples, starting, of course, most famously with the Ram Mandir. And in most temples, they don't serve meat as prasad, though there are some that do. You're required to be vegetarian. So maybe they were taking off from that. There's another more cynical interpretation, which is that it became a good way of targeting lower castes. It became a good way of targeting Muslims. You can't, if you're in a housing society, really say to somebody, though even though you may mean it, you can't get a flat here because you're a Muslim. But you can say, you can't get a flat here because we are pure vegetarians and we wouldn't allow a non-vegetarian to come in. So it's a convenient code phrase for denying access to people who are lower caste Hindus or of some other religion, say Christians, Muslims, whatever. And certainly this whole vegetarianism debate, like the beef debate, has a degree of cynicism attached to it. In the case of the beef debate, the BJP is against cow slaughter, but BJP governments in the Northeast will never ban cow slaughter. Even a BJP government in Goa had no problem with cow slaughter. So there's a strong amount of cynicism and doublespeak associated with the whole subject of beef and vegetarianism. But where does that leave us? Well, first of all, I have to say that some people are genuinely concerned about the slaughter of animals. And while I don't necessarily agree that vegetarians are not involved in the killing of animals, because for instance, if you were to look at, say, beef, it's non-vegetarian. But if you look at wheat, can you really say that anybody who consumes wheat has never participated in the killing of anything? Do you know how many insects are killed by the kind of chemicals used in the production of wheat and other vegetables? So pretty much, and it's one of the realities of living in this earth, pretty much anything you do in creating food involves some kind of killing of animals, insects, or whatever. So I'm not sure that there is a logical argument for vegetarianism. But yes, certainly there is a religious argument. And I can respect that religious argument. I also think that to see it only in caste terms, which is what many opponents of the sort of pure vegetarian lobby see it as, may be unfair. For instance, I did a show here in which I spoke in defense of Sudha Murthy, who'd said she was a pure vegetarian. And most people said because she was a Brahmin, when she talked about pure vegetarianism, she meant not just pure vegetarianism, but Brahminical vegetarianism, Brahminical purity. I said then that I thought this was wrong. Many people use the phrase pure vegetarian just to mean totally vegetarian. You could say strictly vegetarian. But in India, strict has a very different connotation. It means shouting at somebody or being tough, whereas pure suggests complete without any meat at all. So often when people say that they are pure vegetarians or a restaurant says it's purely vegetarian, it doesn't mean they're talking about upper castes or whatever. They're using it as shorthand for totally or completely. I think we need to say that. But we also need to say that, yes, there is a caste element to some of this. And I can understand why opponents of this whole pure vegetarian culture say that it's an upper caste idea. I can understand that, but there are both sides to it. Well, I'll give you my own example. I was brought up as a non-vegetarian, but I was born as a Jain, a Gujarati Jain. My family, my parents were non-vegetarians, but the rest of my family was vegetarian. And I respect their views and I know how strongly they felt about their own vegetarianism. But here's the difference. They didn't feel strongly about my non-vegetarianism. None of them said, we are vegetarians, therefore you who eats meat is not as good as us. That's what's happening now. What you're seeing now is a kind of self-righteous moral superiority. In the case of my family, many people are still vegetarian. If we go to a restaurant, they will order the vegetarian option. I will have the non-vegetarian option. They will not dispute my right to eat what I like, nor will they take the line that they are superior to me because they had khichdi and I had mutton biryani. That's not how it works. It's a matter of personal choice, a matter of personal preference. It's nobody else's business. Sadly, these days in India, it's become everybody's business, which is why this whole Zomato thing was important. Because people pointed out to Zomato that it's all very well to say that we will give different uniforms to people serving pure vegetarian food. But what will this do? This will mean that anybody who's not served by one of these guys is a non-vegetarian or has placed a non-vegetarian order. And RWAs and housing societies in India are often run by these very bumptious, self-righteous mini Hitler uncle types who look for reasons to discriminate against people. And it's possible that this would lead to discrimination. I have to say, to the credit of Zomato, they saw the point and within what, 24 hours, they reversed that decision and said they would not change the uniform for people serving vegetarian food. That's a good decision. It shows a certain flexibility and willingness to learn on the part of Zomato. But what is the lesson for us in India? Well, in a sense, we judge repressive societies because they try and control what comes out of your mouth. They're very concerned with stopping free speech. We may be possibly the only country in the world, the only so-called democracy that's so concerned with what goes inside other people's mouths, not what comes out of them. Which is in a sense extraordinary, don't you think? Ultimately, what I eat or you eat is your business. It's your decision. It's nobody else's decision, let alone the state's. It's none of the state's business. So no special pure vegetarian uniforms, no special disdain reserved for non-vegetarians. Let's just accept we live in a free country. We eat what we like. That's what India has always been about.